Day 6 of the February 99 7-day retreat in Springwater. Are we here? Together? I don't mean romantically together, but not enclosed in my worries, my boundaries. Not so completely enclosed that there is some space for each other. Someone said this morning, could you please devote some time in the talk to look again at this me? Why do you call it an illusion? I've heard it lots of times, read it, listened to tapes, but I need to hear it again. Yes, yes, we do need to hear it again. Because this entanglement, this enclosure in our ego system, seems so real. And that this could be illusion seems so unreal. So can we listen and look again together, openly, putting aside all the attachments and prejudices and biases we have, if we can see them. We don't see them, they operate. Don't we all deeply feel, sense, with every fiber in our body, that this body is me, this is where me resides. These words, one may think, come from me. Or you may think they come from Tony and I am listening. I am this body because if you get hurt, I don't feel it. That's what is the mind says to, as an argument to keep convincing itself. It is this body. Actually, without using those words, it's my body, it's my heart beating, it's my breathing, and my aching or sensing, we could also say there's heart beating, there's breathing, there may be some aching, sensing cold or hot, light and dark. We don't necessarily have to say, I am hearing, I am feeling, but we do. This is how we have learned to communicate with each other for millennia. The deer out in the field, of whom there were so many this retreat, seemed to come closer and closer. Not so afraid right now. Do they think I have to be careful? I have to survive. I have to eat now. I have to eat better food in the garden? Or does this just happen unthinkingly, naturally, reactively, responsively, out of the situation and what the body demands in its cycles? Cycles of growing more hair in the winter, of mating, of giving birth, of feeding. Animals, as far as we know, are not burdened with this whole network of me thinking in the past, in the present, in the future. What I was, my difficult childhood. My tumultuous present, so many problems, my needs for now, my needs for the future. We think all of that. And in thinking it, it's an abstraction from what is happening, a need in the body, abstracted into thinking about it and projecting how the need could be fulfilled. In thinking about it, we separate. There's a separation from the actuality of living in touch with the movements of this body and the seasons. We think, I am here and the world is out there. This is what we think so convincedly. I am here and the community is out there. The world, the society. That's occupied a whole hour last night, unresolvedly. How can I help the world? Something is missing in my life. I live so enclosed. Only community, my little family, my few friends, or lots of friends, but I feel separate from the world that I need to help. I need to do something for it. Something is missing in my life. What is missing is community, which we never quite got into. What do we mean by community? People who do things together, common cause, work together, like-mindedly. Is it a thing of the mind, a projection that one yearns for? Because one feels so separate, because this fundamental problem has not been resolved for one, that one is not separate, that the people around us, the trees, the grass blades, the deer, the sky and clouds, are oneself, no separation. And whoever I talk with, or socialize with, help, or argue with, is the world socializing with itself, arguing with itself, helping itself in maybe the minutest of ways, as minute as a snowflake falling on a warm pavement. So coming back to this body, we went off a bit, this feeling, I am this body, and playing with language to try to say, maybe not in social conversation, but with oneself, can that I be left out and still adequately describe what is going on? Breathing, eating, sleeping, amusing oneself. Relationships with each other, sex, what have you. Or is it all woven into thinking about it? In terms of past experiences, in terms of desired present or future experiences. It seems that programmed into this body, into the DNA, the genetics, every cell of this body, programmed into it is the urge to survive, the urge to avoid pain, the urge to feed, to feel good, comfortable, to mate, to take care of offspring. I'm talking on a fundamental, animalistic level. And the urge to survive, to run, to avoid danger. Some of the animal families, to protect the young, the way these elephants group themselves when they run, always the little ones in the middle. And think about it, it happens out of their genetic intelligence, which serves survival, procreation. And amazingly enough, intelligently enough for animals, things are arranged in cycles. When to mate, when to take care of the little ones, when to migrate, or grow a thicker fur and skin because of the winter. They don't need to think about it. They don't need to think about finding the best mate all year round. Human beings think, do we? Do we think of sex all year long? It seems like this when you turn the television on. There's nothing but sex or violence. We're not protected intelligently by this body because we have this brain which can fantasize, conjure up pleasurable scenarios, attractive people, project onto people attractive images, and begin to desire what the mind is projecting all year long. And also amazingly enough, all the inbuilt, encoded mechanisms to keep this body surviving, defended, protected, comfortable, if possible, all these encoded modes have been transferred to the image of myself, the story of myself. To keep that going, to keep it comfortable, happy, protected, defended. At a time when this body is not endangered, not hurt, not threatened, but the image may be. How he spoke to me. He told me to do something. Or not to do something. And old, remembered hurts flare up into action, into defensive or aggressive response. It seems as though nothing in this story ever gets lost, because it can be triggered and it can react physically, somatically, defensively or aggressively. We're just picking that out there. Millions of responses from memory, from past hurts or humiliations, taking place now in the story. This is the activity of the me. To be watched, to be understood, to be illuminated and questioned. What am I defending? What am I protecting? and not let this become a mantra, a sort of a habitual question. It needs more than questioning. It needs stopping and looking, plumbing it. Why do I feel so agitated, so ready to bite back? Because somebody criticized me or told me to do something, as though he or they were my father or mother. Father and mother are long gone, but they're still alive in our memory, in the tracks and traces remembered. Not willfully remembered, it's automatic, it functions instantly. Nobody is directing the show, it directs itself. And the only thing that can sever these connections is awareness, to become aware of this constantly running process of reacting from remembered story, remembered past experiences, and defend me as a story hero or heroine or victim, whatever. So, is that becoming somewhat clearer, that in our emotional responses, we live in our stories? They produce them. The fears, the desires, the ability to project. You could say, well, if I don't say this is my body, this is my mind, then whose is it? It's maybe the wrong question. In observing it in silence, in this vast stillness, and the energy to look, it reveals itself, it operates beautifully on its own. In an amazing and mysterious way, functioning or dysfunctioning. No one doing it. It's no one's fault. Story makes it so. Which, to see, it has no owner to this body. It is a thing that is functioning, an organism functioning in harmony with the ground and the sky and the food and the drink. And maybe the affection that we have for each other. I don't mean programmed affection, but genuine affection. Embracing each other, because there's nothing between us. Watching that, observing it without taking a position. It's good or bad, right or wrong. Right and wrong, good and bad exist in the programmed thinking. We're all in our own ways, depending on how we grew up, where and when, programmed to think of right and wrong in certain relative, limited ways. It happened when we grew up. We were indoctrinated by our parents and brothers and sisters and teachers and priests. What is right and what is wrong. And not just casually, but with reward and punishment. The organism remembers pain and pleasure and sticks to the idea of right and wrong as though it was one's life and limb. Amazing phenomenon. how everything rushes to the defense of what one thinks is right, or rushes to reject and fight what one thinks is wrong. Again, the physical mechanisms to protect, to preserve, to survive, switched on to the idea of right and wrong. As though it had now become part of this organism, which it has in a way because the thoughts and memories take place in this organism. Take place nowhere else. And wonder of wonders can become transparent, visible, look atable. Wondering about what runs this life, these emotions, these fears and desires. Becoming intimate with the power of thought and idea and pictures in the mind. Amazing power to divide and create problems among each other. Coming back to the discussion last night, one person bringing up this feeling of something missing in her life because she's not doing something for the suffering, aching world, the ecology, the poverty, you name it. What is this world? This aching world, this aching ecology and sprawling poverty, overpopulation, greed, power. This is mine, I don't want you to have it. I want more and more. What is this aching world? Can we question whether it is outside of ourselves, or whether we or it is just one manifestation of living under infinitely varied circumstances, always changing. At one point, I was saying something like this, I can't repeat it now. Isn't everybody we run into our community? The people here, the people one works with, the family, or going to the grocery store and having some communication with a checkout woman or man. A kindly, friendly word to the post clerk, postal clerk. It's an amazing thing in Dansville. You know each other and you appreciate each other's company as quickly as it happens and goes apart again. And someone said, but being kind or being nice to each other is not community. Community is more than that. Not just being nice for a moment. So what is community? We need to really, if this is a problem in our life, we need to go into it. So we don't stay with the words and the emotions that the concepts arouse in the body. That is so misleading. Because the body can trigger or mobilize all kinds of pleasant or exciting emotions at the sound of a concept. to be wary and aware of that. Now, one person said, it's not just an idea to have community. I like to live in a community, particularly community of people who are like-minded, who are interested in looking at things together in a spirit of openness. Maybe this kind of community is one in which we can plumb our sense of division, of separation. Me and the world out there, that I'm not helping but should be helping, and I don't know how. Maybe it needs this kind of community to get together and look at things together, starting where we are, maybe very superficially, but wondering and wondering whether there is a deeper thing to understand. Now, without trying to make propaganda for spring water, there is such a community here. When I'm here, we talk together and have group discussion on Sundays and Tuesday nights. And when I'm not here, there are some people who are interested in carrying this on, looking together. And if you only live in Rochester, it's less than an hour away. You can come here and participate. We can create something together. It doesn't have to be just remain a figment of the imagination. It used to be, I remember from days at the Rochester Zen Center, it was such a magnet that people moved from all over, moved to Rochester to be closer to that center, to be able to sit in Sesshin and what have you. Well, it's possible to move closer to this place too, because there are some people here who are hungering for a community to talk together and explore together and sit together outside of the so-called on periods when I'm here. So this can be created out of our coming together with a mutual interest. Are we helping the world with this? I can't ask this. I can't see things this way anymore. We are this world. It's not separate from us. And two or three people looking together, exploring together, and maybe for moments at a time suspending self-defended opinions or allowing them to be illuminated by oneself or in the group. That is something happening in this world. It's not happening in the sticks, in the middle of nowhere, although it may feel this way. It is one world, one happening, regardless of what we do, for better or worse. It is the world responding, the world paining or joying. Can you see it this way, at least intellectually? Play with it. Somebody this morning said, you know, these words like urgency and diligence and seriousness, they're too heavy. Can we rather say, let's play with all this? With changing words. Me and the world out there, maybe it's one world. No division. But yet it's not just a matter of playing with words. It has to go deeper than that. But maybe a change in expression can precede it, can precede looking, whether this is really so. No, it's not. I feel separate, one may say. Well, then let's explore it together. Share and pool the energy to look, what is this feeling of separation? Not defensively or aggressively, but communally. Because we all suffer from the same disease, which is the dis-ease of separation. Imagined separation. By which I don't mean, I know all manner of misunderstandings will inevitably crop up. I don't mean denying this body. This is the monastic tradition. Denying the body. That's also idea fed. There can be an ever-increasing sensitivity of what is helpful to a healthful way of living. It can be experienced, found out, played with, if you will. And to take proper care of this body does not need to feed the sense of me having a terrific body or being a terrific caretaker of this body. This is all extra. The body makes known what it needs after a while. It takes a while because it has been so abused or overridden with ideas and fantasy of what fantasy wants. So to take intelligent care of the body. Each one has to, I'm not giving instructions or guidelines, I can just say how helpful it is to walk, to get fresh air, to eat well, to sleep regularly, to enter silence. Not in order to become a better person, but to explore the sense of person, personality, or just melt into silence with no one being there. None of this needs ego feeding, story feeding. If that sets in, it can be seen and let go of as quickly as it is seen. Confusing thoughts arise, doubts arise. Am I doing the right thing? Well, then let's get together and look again. Where do these thoughts arise from? What is their power to disturb? Where do all thoughts arise from? Can we touch it? The source of all thoughts, which is not a thought, it's before the next thought arises. Being here. As no thought. No image, no story. Just the humming of fan and plane, and the beating of the heart. A deep breath, a stomach gurgling. Is it yours? Is it mine? I don't know. It's presence. Without division. If a thought comes up, do I get it? Am I getting it? That's a divisive thought. I am getting it, or I should be getting it, or I haven't gotten it, but the others have. Can we begin to be wise to the operation of thought? And this quick response of the body contracting, tensing, or jubilating. So, does the question come up, if I'm not this body, if I'm not this mind with all of its fabrications, and its immense creativity. Immense drive and momentum to create and procreate. What am I? This moment of not knowing. Not needing to know. Aliveness is here. We will end here for today.